This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again. Welcome to the Referee's World podcast. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee with Somerset FA. And this is Somerset FA's county training officer and my mentor, Richard Mellon.
Hello, Darren.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
In this episode, we're going to be discussing disappointment.
Yeah, dealing with disappointment. There are issues within refereeing where we have to deal with disappointment. And I've done an interview with colleague Richard Corp.
Yeah, I think just to explain for any new listeners listening at the moment, first of all, thank you very much for listening. In case you're wondering, we're not in the studio environment today. We've decided to come round to one of the local parks just to be in front of the football pitch as we build up to the new season, just to start getting that whole feel again, because it's a lovely evening and we've had a good couple of days. But last season, I was going from a level 4. I didn't get it. I think I know the reasons why. And in Richard's case, he came the other way.
Yes, young Richard Corp. Unfortunately, Richard lost his status as a level 3 referee. I unknowingly met Richard within 2 days of receiving his letter from the Football Association saying that he had not retained his position as a level 3 referee. And also, Richard had lost his position as a nationalist assistant, which in you know, when you look at it, it's a double hit for a referee. So we've had an interesting interview with Richard, which we'll cover later. But we're going to talk about the issues involving yourself now, Darren.
Yeah.
And see if we can help listeners to understand how to deal with disappointment and how to be positive about it, because there are some positives with it, although it is disappointment at the time. Let's say, why do you think you didn't get your level 4 nomination?
I'd like to think that it's something to do with club marks, and there was a couple of situations in last season which we have talked about on the podcast, a couple of quite testing situations that I had to deal with no matter what. If I hadn't dealt with it and left it and reported it, the away team would have reported me for not reporting it. So just to put you in the picture very briefly, it was a situation where one of the home team's spectators came onto the pitch drunk and was using threatening behaviour against the away team members that were sat down in the bench. I had to deal with that situation. This then turned into, could only be described as a racial incident. So I had to report the club. And what happened, I noticed in the first part of the season, there was this one particular club that I was being given appointments to. And I think between the beginning of the season and New Year, I think I'd had them 5 times.
I certainly have got no criticism of the appointment secretaries because they have a difficult job to do. Having been there myself, I know what time it takes and I know all the pressures of dealing with appointments as an appointment secretary. So what I want us to focus on is consider the number of appointments that you do with a particular club. And in this case, Darren, you did 5 appointments in the actual season between September and December of the same club, not just at home but also away. You also did 2 pre-season games for them, and they're only 20 miles from your home, and that was convenient for them to ask a referee locally of the right level to come and do it. The pre-season games went smoothly, as we know, and then when we got into competition, things changed. Things changed to the extent whereby the opinion is actually not just a verbal expression, but it becomes a fact when you put marks on paper. And clubs will mark referees on paper for the competition regulations. That's what's required by the FA, and so it is a bit of an awkward situation. But let's get on with the issues of refereeing a team too many times.
I was going to say, actually, because there comes a point where, I mean, most referees are aware of the fact, you know, once an appointment secretary gives you your fixtures, you don't argue it.
It's no, you're like grateful.
Of course you are.
You're grateful for
it. Of course you are.
Absolutely.
So it's like the unwritten rule. You think, okay, well, I've got them again. Fair enough. I'll just take it. But then at what point do you confront it? And let's be honest about it. When you do confront it, the majority of them will say, yeah, that's fine, not a problem. And they'll probably change it for you.
But the thing I want to point out to referees is that you can't seem to be cherry-picking.
Yeah.
You can't pick your fixtures. Mm. But I think if you're seeing a club on a regular basis, the appointment secretary might be missing it on his spreadsheets when he's doing all those things. So all I say is if you're seeing a particular club too many times, then just have a check, pick the phone up and talk to the appointment secretary and say, oh, I saw them last month. You've given me again this month, and I see I'm also going to be doing them possibly in the County Cup type of thing. So, you know, You don't want to see a team too many times because they will get fed up with you. You will, you know, get a little bit fed up with them. So it's a careful situation that needs to be managed.
But so over the course of a season, what would you say is probably the most amount of times that you would expect to referee the same club, whether it be home or away?
I'd like to say three or four times. Three or four times. Maybe a couple of times before Christmas and then a couple of times after, you know, and circumstances will, you know, dictate that. But I think in the case where you experienced, Darren, seeing the team that involved on this occasion, August, September, October, November and December, it certainly didn't help you because there were match incidents there which involved dismissals, cautions, there was a racial incident, and involving that club, you became the villain, but you weren't. You weren't the villain, in all honesty. You've done your honest job. You were honest. You were fair. But you decided, and correctly decided, that the incident had to be reported. Now, let me say to you, if that incident had not got reported by yourself, but someone watching the game or the away team had made comment in a newspaper or on a website, and then somebody else from that picked up on the news that there was a racial incident at a game that was refereed by yourself, there would be an investigation as regards, was there a racial incident involving yourself, Darren? And then from there, it escalates into an investigation, which can be embarrassing.
Yeah.
But rightly, you reported the incident and it was dealt with by the county FA. And that's what all referees should do. Make sure everything is nice and tidy and nothing is left to question, because imagine if you hadn't reported the racial incident and it was highlighted and it was not exaggerated, but it was put into the press. There was a big incident down at this club and the referee then asked by the county, did you report it? And you say no, then it will be investigated. Why didn't you report it? It's such an a major incident. So, you know, awkward situations, but they have to be dealt with in a positive way. And that's what you did. Unfortunately, if you look back at it now, probably the club in question didn't appreciate the business that you decided you had to do, and they penalised you through the marking system. Now, you can have a game at the beginning of the season, as you did, and I know you did. You had a reasonable mark from this club, but I also know that that incident of when you reported that racial incident, you were marked much, much lower than average. So consequently, you've got to do a lot to get back those marks that you've lost.
Yeah.
So that's why you need to see different clubs and not the same club too often. Mm-hmm. Three or four times in a season, not in consecutive five consecutive months.
Personally, I felt last season, I actually had one of the best seasons I've had. I learnt an awful lot last season and I had a lot of tough games, interesting games, and some really, really enjoyable games, which made, for me, kind of like a roller coaster season in many ways. So that still doesn't mean that I didn't come away disappointed. Of course I was disappointed, because I don't know, there's a lot of pride at stake as well when you're a referee, isn't there?
Of course there is. There's always a lot of pride in our performance, and
you get to a certain point in the season when, you know, decisions are going to be made sort of around February, end of January, February, and then people are starting to talk and rumours start to float around, well, who's going to get it, whose name's been mentioned, and it goes like that, and it's it kind of adds to like a psychological pressure of your own, doesn't it?
Yeah, we induce that ourselves, I think, by creating rumours. And, I was the same when I was in the system, and it's no different now. But what you've got to do, you've got to detach yourself from those rumours and go out there and perform to the best of your ability. Yeah. And if I relate to your last 18 months, Darren, since we started doing a bit of mentoring, there was nothing particularly wrong with your game when we first started working together. But significantly, in that first full season last year, your game increased, improved in many areas. Your presence was better, your body language got better, your use of certain tools and skills within refereeing were better, your signals were sharper, your
fitness as well,
your fitness improved notably. And you can talk about that yourself. What do you think about your fitness levels as opposed to the end of the previous season and midway through last season?
Oh, much better, much better.
What did you do to help that?
Do you know what? I was just about to say, one thing I could really recommend is training with somebody. My mate Brian lives literally a quarter of a mile away from me. He's same level as I am now. He got promoted from a 6 to a 5 this season. And we bur each other on. And it's I can't stress enough for training purposes, find somebody to run with. It really helps you. And my big problem was with the long distances. He could nail the long distances. He could do it very well. He dealt with it very well. And I needed that to help me get through. And running with Brian three times a week really helped. So that's one thing I would recommend.
I mean, it's this is not nothing new. Mm. I mean, even when I go back to again to when I was refereeing, you know, there was seven or eight of us in the Bridgewater area that go out on a Wednesday night, and it was good camaraderie, good competition, and you know, you could pace yourself against your colleagues without having to pace yourself, you know, on your own, which is very difficult to do.
Absolutely,
you just
we
don't
did
know.
We would do a typical week for us. We'd have a game on Saturday. Monday night we'd do our long distance run, would generally be between 5 and 7 miles. Wednesday would be more intense cardio.
Yep.
So, you know, setting out the cones and doing the sprints and all that kind of stuff. And
the shuttle stuff, yeah.
So and then we'd have 2 days rest and then we're back on the field of play again for a game.
Well, you see, I suppose what was evident in my time was that we would use a midweek game on a Tuesday, say, and also go training on a Wednesday, you know, so that was two sessions. And, you know, if you aspire to go to sort of level four, you have got to seriously think about two training sessions a week. Not high intensity, both of them, but at least
just
one.
Just to keep the body ticking over.
Absolutely.
I think that's the important
thing,
isn't it?
You know, and it does, I think it also helps mental sharpness as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just about being physically sharp, but it is about mental sharpness as well. But those skills that we wanted to develop, I did see them develop, Darren, with your game. And, you know, as much as you're disappointed, I was disappointed that we didn't see the promotion. But when I had a look at the system as regards, I didn't go investigating for marks, but I looked at your appointments, and I could see that if you weren't able to get to that level of nomination from the county to the FA, then I thought, right, okay, what is the problem? And when I looked down, there was one club, as we discussed, that you were refereeing too often in the first 5 months, you know, and that certainly had an influence on your progress. There are other things that will hamper a nomination, and that's if you don't meet the criteria that's expected. But having met the criteria, you knew what it was, you ticked all those boxes. But unfortunately, when it come down to club marks, that's what let you down. And you weren't below average, you were right on the average. But that's not enough to get a nomination. You need to be well above the average to get nominated to level four. When you knew you didn't get your nomination, what was your immediate reaction?
Straight away, it was, like I said, it was the pride thing. I felt in the run-up to it, I felt that I'd done reasonably well this season, or the last season. But I had a niggle in the back of my head that the certain games that we've discussed were going to really have an effect.
Did you think about throwing the whistle in the bucket and saying that's it?
No, not at all. I'm 40 now, and there probably are people of my age that would have thought, yeah, okay, I'm not going to do it anymore because I'm not going to get any further, blah, blah, blah. But that's a defeatist attitude for me, and I don't want to do that. This forthcoming season, I'm undecided yet because, as you know, I've got quite a lot of work commitments coming up. So I'm still going to go for the training. I'm still going to go for the fitness tests. In fact, at the time we're recording this, we have a fitness test on Sunday.
Yes, we do. So,
which I've been training for. And just to put you in the picture, the last 3 weeks, I've done my 2,700 in... Last night I did it in 11:47. Last week I did it in 11:46. And I got my two sprints done at 6.9 and 7.2. So I'm still working on the fitness, and bearing in mind I've had that nasty injury that I had earlier on this season as well. I'm quite happy that I've come through that in the way I have.
Interesting to hear you say, Dad, you've trained for 2.7, because the minimum distance is 2.6, isn't it?
Yeah.
2,600 metres. Yeah. I'm pleased to hear you say that you've trained to do 2.7 and you've done it in 11 minutes 45 approximately.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is good preparation, and you seem like you're ready to do it. What about your sprints?
The first sprint I did 6.9. And the second one was 7.2.
Right. Okay.
I've always been quite good at my sprints. Yep. That was where I was.
You
very
have
confident.
A preference for sprinting rather than stamina running.
Yeah.
But in refereeing, we have to have the stamina to match.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Know, the game,
absolutely.
The demands of the game.
So I've been quite happy with the training. So I'm gonna continue refereeing as though I'm going for my promotion.
Okay.
But I'll make a decision over the next few weeks, I guess.
Sure, okay. And we'll come back to that on the podcast then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's keep everybody involved here. If Darren's had the disappointment of not getting nominated to Level 4, let's see what we can use to help our colleagues that are looking for the same, and hopefully we can help them avoid the same. But, to hit the average is not quite enough. You need to be above the average, and not just above it, but significantly above it. So, there are averages to be aware of. That's Club Mark's average, and also assessor's average. So, if we were able to have the resources from our assessor's panel, then maybe we wouldn't have to use Club Mark's. But sometimes the resources with our assessor's panel don't stretch to five assessments per season for a level five referee. So that's probably one of the problems that we experience here in Somerset. And I know that's probably the case across the country with other counties, but some counties have got the resources to be able to say five assessments for that referee. Yeah, no problem at all. And if you have five assessments and the assessment average is really decent and, well above the expected, then I think the nomination will go forward. It's only a nomination, though. The invitation from the FA is at their discretion when they sit down around about April or May at the end of each season. So the disappointment is there, Dad. You've taken a positive slant on it, which is pleasing. And I hope those colleagues that are listening will take a positive slant. But anybody who's listening to the podcast has got disappointment, has got an uncertainty about what they want to do. Contact us.
Don't feel ashamed, don't feel embarrassed to discuss your disappointment. If there's anything that more so Richard than me can help out in terms of giving advice, then please email us through the website refereesworld.co.uk, and we'll see what we can do to sort of help you in that direction. I think the main thing is to learn from the reasons why you didn't get that nomination, and take it forward in your plan to progress in the forthcoming season, very much like our next guest is going to talk to us about in just a second.
Yeah.
Just very quickly remind us about Richard.
Richard Corp, a good referee, in my opinion, over the years. Unfortunately, last season he had an indifferent season, and he had the news at the end of the season, round about the, I think it was end of April, early May, he had a letter from the Football Association advising him that he'd lost his position as a level three referee.
And Richard's based in
Frome.
He's based in Frome
in North Somerset. Yeah. I met him 2 days after he received the letter. He was a little bit down in the dumps.
I was going to say, when you met him to discuss this, because you didn't know, did you?
I had no idea.
Which is quite interesting.
Referees don't talk very much, do we?
You went in to have a bit of a friendly chat and this, that, and the other, and then tell us the story behind this.
Well, we went to a County Cup final, and Richard came in the gate. There we were, just stood in front of the tea hut like you do, almost an hour before kickoff.
Makes a change from the bar, Rich,
doesn't
it?
Having a cup of tea, yes, it does, yeah. We had a cup of tea, and Rich came up, and we were having a joke here and there, like you do, with mates and a little bit of rapport, and I was just making the casual, clever joke like you try and do with your mates, and he turned around to me and he said, "You don't know, do you?" I said, "Know what?" And he said, "You don't know I've had a letter." I said, "No, I don't. What letter?" And then he explained. He said, "I've lost my status as a level three," and he wasn't in tears, but it was close. And I really sympathise with that, because I'm as passionate about refereeing and football as the next man, and sometimes your passion comes out in emotion, and Richard was very, very emotional about it, and I said, "I'm ever so sorry, I didn't know." And he said, "I realise you didn't know." And he explained, he said,
"You
almost immediately
awful."
I did feel uncomfortable, but I openly apologised very, very quickly. But thankfully, it wasn't an incident that was heard by everybody else at the time, because it was a one-to-one. But within 2 minutes, Richard was talking to me. He said, "Well, I've got a 3-year plan," and you'll hear that in the podcast interview with Richard, which, again, like yourself, is a positive slant of dealing with disappointment. And there will be disappointment for referees, and we need to sort of turn it around.
So let's have a listen now to what Richard had to say about his disappointment of last season.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Okay, so you took the basic referees course. When was that?
I think that was around about 1998.
Okay, so you've been in refereeing about 12 years.
Correct.
Okay, so where did you go for your first appointments as a referee?
It was Horningsham versus Crockerton.
Okay.
Sunday League Division 3.
Absolutely. That's everybody's got to start somewhere.
It was a cup match and the weather was horrendous. And it went to extra time. It was, looking back on it, it was an awful. It was absolutely awful.
When did you get the idea about promotion? Who introduced that to you? Do you know?
Again, it was Steve. Steve Porter, who's been a very good friend of mine, right? And he more or less took me under the wing.
So you come up through the ranks, good education.
Very.
So you've got to Supply League Middle. When did you actually get promoted to Level 3?
Level 3, I think, happened in 2007.
Okay.
One of the highlights of my career. To start off with, I really didn't take it too seriously. I'd probably do, in the first couple of seasons, I'd do one game a month and that was it. And I was happy doing that. But as I got more confidence in myself, and progressed on up through, that became more or less every week and during the week.
What happened when you became a contributory referee?
My whole way of refereeing changed. We're very fortunate in this neck of the woods to have the likes of Martin Cassidy, who is a great Level 3 coach. Loads of other people there to help you and progress you. And you are under the spotlight a lot more.
It's trying to match expectation now, isn't it?
Exactly.
When you get to that level.
Exactly.
Yeah. What was your perception when you were an assistant referee? How did you view contributory football? Were you on the touchline as an assistant thinking, well, I can do that?
Oh, yes. I would imagine a lot of the level fours think they could do it. I was one of those. I can remember my first game very lividly and it was horrendous.
And what was it like when you actually got into that middle then? When you say horrendous, describe some of the feelings and the experiences that you actually had from watching it on the touchline as an assistant, so to say. What was it like when you actually got out into the middle and the heat of the battle?
Pressure. The pressure is more intense on you.
The pressure is from?
The players, the expectations from the fans as well. If you're on the line, if you're acting as an assistant, you give a decision, not too much is said, but everybody comes to you. The whole setup from when you arrive at the game, people asking you questions regarding, i.e. for example, if a team's late, how do we go about it? What's the cut-off time? And you're expected to know these straight away. And it is a huge, huge test. And it was very hard. Very hard to start with.
So it's really stuff off the field that challenge you more than what it does on the field.
Yeah, because when you're at that level, you should be able to concentrate with things on the field. Your refereeing is, you're good enough to be at that level. It's all the other pieces of a professional setup that you're supposed to just understand straight away.
So you've got to contributory referee, level three. How many years have you had as a level three referee?
5 years now.
Okay, 5 years. And I also know that you enjoyed some promotions from level three referee. You actually went to the assistant national list assistance list. Yeah?
Yeah.
And how many years did you have on the national assistance list?
2 years.
Okay. So you've had 2 years on that. You've had 5 years, 6 years as a contributory referee. You've had a lot of highs. What were the highs?
The highs, I can remember doing conference playoff final with some colleagues around this neck of the woods, and there was about 4,000 or 5,000 people in there.
Wow.
At contributory level, that's a big crowd.
That is a big crowd.
And you're just so focused on it. The game just went. It went and it flew by. And we all had an excellent game, the whole team, which you would expect to being chosen prestige appointment like a playoff final.
So a playoff final. And what was the reward for the winners from that game that you refereed?
They went into the conference.
They went into national conference. So, okay, that is a high area of football that we're now talking about, isn't it? What other highlights are there, Rich? County Cup finals?
Yes, I've been very fortunate to have the Premier Cup final 2 years ago. I was down at Yeovil. Fairly enjoyable night, as cup finals always are. It was nice to take a few of my colleagues down from the local RA. And yeah, the game again, you're in front of your county. The county has chosen you to represent them, and it was a huge honour for me to do that.
Ah, that's good. Okay, we're now going to cut into some areas which is rare for a referee to experience, and certainly not a common theme. But we're going to talk about dealing with disappointment. Richard, as you know, has been a level 3 referee for approximately 6 years. He has been a nationalist assistant referee for 2 years. The date will be etched in Richard's mind, but you received a letter, and what did the letter tell you?
The letter told me that I was being removed from the national list of assistant referees.
Removal from the national list of assistant referees is not something that any referee will ever want. Removal from any list is not what any referee will want. But these are the things that are now in, has to be in your thoughts as a referee. As equally as there are rewards, it can be given to you with one hand and taken away in the other. So what is important is to maintain performance level or level of performance. Rich, was it national list or assistant referee, or was it level 3 referee performances?
It was both, really. My lining up to a cut-off point, which the PGMO and the Contrib guidelines is the 29th of February.
Yep.
If you're in the bottom 15% of that date and the bottom 25 and bottom 35 of club and merit lists on both, you will be removed from the national list.
Okay, so we know what the criteria is. What were the signs for you? Did you see any signs during the previous or the season that has just finished?
I guess I was low. When every quarter you get your merit list, a letter from the FA with where you are on assessor's marks and where you are on a merit list. I was low, but I wasn't in danger. Regarding my acting as an assistant, I had a key match incident which I got wrong at the wrong time, to say. Timings could have been better,
okay,
which put me in that bottom 15%.
Can we just talk briefly about maybe one or two of those decisions? Were they offsides? Were they penalty kicks given or not given?
No, it was a penalty kick. I didn't think it was. The referee didn't think it was, but when it got referred to video evidence, we were proven both wrong.
And that was on one occasion?
And that was on one occasion.
Yeah. So you take a hit in terms of marks from the assessor, who has a responsibility to observe and report. Were there any other significant moments that you can remember as a key match incident?
Not as an assistant.
Okay.
That was pretty much that. It was a horrible couple of weeks. Horrible. I took it very seriously. I'm in the professional game and I should be doing a professional job.
Okay.
I had to rely on other colleagues, very senior colleagues, to say, hey, we all make mistakes. But for me, it was a bit too hard on myself.
Tearful times?
Oh, it was. I can remember the next game I went out and I was a bag of nerves, absolute bag of nerves. Didn't really enjoy it. It's probably the first time in my career as a national list assistant that I did not enjoy that game. I just wanted to get through it.
You've taken a very positive attitude to this, because I saw you 2 days after you received the letter, not knowing that you had the letter. But since then, we had a quick chat and you said you've got a plan in mind of how you're going to turn this negative into a positive. Give me the details of your plan, the duration, and everything else that you've put into place now.
Yes, I've given myself a 3-year plan to try and get back on the national list. It's going to be tough, and this is no disrespect to the Contrib League clubs, but as last season, I was acting as assistant in front of big crowds, big championships crowds. Now, I'm going to be in front of maybe 100, 200 people.
Will that allow you to relax, do you think?
I wouldn't say relax. It would be one added pressure not on there, but you've still got to be focused. Bear in mind, you are still a contributing league match official.
Does it matter if there's 10 people stood behind you or 10,000?
To a certain degree, no. You've got to get that decision right. But just the general setup of the way it is. It's huge pressure.
Okay. Just recapping a little bit, Rich. You've talked about your three-year plan of what your targets are. There are other colleagues across the country that may be listening to this, and I know there are a number of colleagues across the range from 2B down to level 4, and I think there's 60 in total that have suffered similar situation to what to yourself. I'm not saying that they've all lost nationalist assistant status, but they've all been demoted in some form from where they currently were last season. Now, within your three-year plan, what's the content of it? How are you taking the approach? Season one, let's talk about next season. Where are you going?
Yes, season one, back as a supply league referee.
Level four. Yeah.
I am going to aim to get my level three status back.
And how? And what are you going to do about that? Let's give some advice, because you're very positive about this. And I know you personally, you will achieve a level of success. And I don't doubt for one moment that you will get what you want. But if you're talking to your other colleagues that are listening to this, what have you got that puts you above that list of other level fours that could help them?
I would like to think, A, I have experience of refereeing at a higher level, which I think would put me in good stead to come down as a level four.
What will you do? What is it that you think lost your status that you will put into your game? Because previously, to get to level three, you were doing the right things. To referee that conference playoff final, you were doing the right things.
I would say confidence will play a huge part of it.
Is it confidence?
Yes, I would say towards the end of the last...
Can't afford to be arrogant, though, can we?
No, you've got... There's a happy medium there. And I know colleagues, I've worked with colleagues that are arrogant. Not pleasant. I would like to think that I'm not that sort of person.
Colleagues that are blasé and perhaps ignorant?
Yeah, they are out there. And again, you just have to bite your bottom lip. They're in charge if you're a team, if they're the referee, and you have a job to do for them.
Okay.
You've got to be as professional as you can with that.
Yeah. So here we are, year one. You're going to introduce confidence back in there. There is also still that element of courage that's required, because you have to make some tough decisions. The demands upon any referee at any level don't change. The expectation is about accuracy and consistency. Do you think you've been consistent?
Looking back, probably not as much as I would have liked to have been. Certain games that... When you're in a low position, it's always tough and hard to maintain that level of consistency.
Sure. Was the knowledge of your position on the merit list playing in the back of your mind?
I'd like to think not, but probably overall it was.
Okay.
I was trying to get through it just to please people, so I didn't probably go about it the right way.
Mm. Okay, what I want to try and sort of make a connection here with is, when we're making decisions as an assistant referee in front of thousands of people, we have to have a focus. You've mentioned about that focus, whether it's 10 people or 10,000 people behind you on your back. Now, do you need to apply that focus with where you're trying to go with this three-year plan that you've got? So if you're saying that the position on the merit list wasn't in the back of your mind, can you literally drop it, forget about it, and achieve that level of focus that's similar to making those decisions as an assistant referee?
I would like to think I can.
Good. Targets, isn't it? It's setting targets.
It's going to be hard. I know it's going to be hard, very hard. And like you said, it is a target. But for me to be part of my plan that I have, I have to stay focused, remain focused, and 200% focused to go in that extra bit.
Yeah.
So instead of going out for a 5-mile run, you go for a 10-mile run.
Push.
Yeah, you push yourself to the limits.
Yeah.
And beyond to get what you want.
Yeah, and I think those that push themselves to those limits will achieve. And I personally believe that you will achieve this. Okay, so here we are. We're talking about focus. We're talking about confidence. Courage has always got to be there with the referee. Let's go into season two. What do you, having hopefully got towards the top of that level four list, if you're not top of that list this time next year, you've got to be close to be considered. Let's assume you've got your promotion to level three. Does the work stop?
No, far from it. The work has only just begun then.
Okay.
Because you have another level to go up then. Ideally, you have to get, as we were safe speaking about confidence, you get that back straight away. As you know, Rich, when you're high, you're high. When you're low, you're low. And I don't care, that is the same in any sport.
When you're low, Rich, how do you manage to get yourself, pull yourself back? Do you go out for a walk? Do you go out to the pictures? Do you go swimming? What do? Do you go out with a girlfriend?
No, I could probably go up to the gym.
Work off your frustration?
Work off my frustration.
Mm-hmm.
I have my quiet time.
That's your particular style of doing things?
That's the way I deal with things.
Yeah, yeah.
Occasionally I may go for a walk.
Do you talk with colleagues?
I do to a certain degree.
Do you think you could do more as regards talking to your colleagues?
It probably is a learning curve this year that I could have.
Yeah.
I'm friendly with a lot of guys higher levels than me, and they can relate to what I'm going through. And I know that they're on the end of the phone.
Okay.
But I try and keep it to myself when really I should open out a little bit.
Okay, I think that's some good advice to all our colleagues that are listening to this, Rich, wherever they are, in the UK, around the world, or whatever. I think the opportunity to mentor with someone or discuss situations with someone, match incidents, or just go out and have a social with somebody on the same wavelength or on the same level of understanding has got to be beneficial to get rid of those frustrated moments. How many times have you come home from games and just chucked the kit bag in a corner and wanted to kick a cat if you could see one?
Oh, numerous occasions, Rich. Numerous occasions. It is a cutthroat business, and you must be performed to your best. As I found out, if you don't perform, you will be demoted.
It's about standards, best practice, and commitment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the whole package into one.
The download is complete.